Our second reading for today is the second half of Jude, Jude 1, verses 17 to 25. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. They are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. So before we come to study his word, let us pray. Lord God, as we come now to study your holy scripture, open our ears so that we might hear your word as written by your servant Jude. Write your word in our hearts so that we will remember forever your love for us, the warnings foretold by the apostles, and remember forever your amazing grace and the salvation we have through your only Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Jude 17, 1:17 to 25. So this is the second half of Jude, and in this part, Jude is calling us to persevere. And as he calls us to persevere in our faith and trust in our Lord and Saviour, let's have a little recap on what the first part of Jude's letter was about. In the first part of this letter, verses 1 to 16, Jude gave us quite a forceful proclamation against false teaching. Jude is warning us against false teachers in the church, those who teach contrary to the word of God, and those who challenge the word of God, those who corrupt the word of God and attempt to justify the pursuit of sinful pleasure and power. This is a warning about immoral men who were perverting the grace of God. Jude calls them godless men, acting in defiance of God and in denial of our sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. And in no uncertain terms, Jude says that these are the very things that will bring God's wrath and condemnation upon them and will destroy them. Jude likened their condemnation to the fate of the unbelieving Israelites, who were destroyed because they failed to trust in the Lord and keep his commands. And you'd liken their condemnation to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, for they were also guilty of idolatry, immorality, and perversion. Jude also illustrated how these false teachers led others astray, saying that they have taken the way of Cain, the first murderer, who was selfish, devoid of any care and love for his brother. Like Balaam's error, false teachers motivated only by greed. They misused prophetic gifts, perverted the faith, and led God's people astray. These false teachers also were like Korah's rebellion against Moses and Aaron, defying the leadership of God's church and rebelling against their authority. Jude reminds us that there is a time and a place for the aggressive protection of the gospel truth from those who would seek to tear it down. Jude thought it important for believers to stand against those working in defiance of Jesus Christ and the Holy Scriptures. In this second part of Jude's letter, he calls us to remember the teachings of the apostles, because false teachers will indeed infiltrate the church. We must hold on to the truth of the gospel, not let false teachers divide us, nor stain us with their lies. So let's look in more detail at the last nine verses of Jude's letter. Verse 17, but dear friends, Remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. Jude's call to remember the teachings of the apostles is something we must all heed. There are many examples of warnings against false teachings given to us by the apostles. Here are a couple of examples. The apostle Peter gave us a warning in his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. There's also a rather graphic passage in Acts where Paul is appealing to the pastors and elders of the church, pleading with them to guard themselves and the flock. So in Acts 20, verse 29, Paul writes, "I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock." The apostles foretold that false teachers will infiltrate the church and try to corrupt it before it even came to pass. Forgetfulness of the teaching and warnings of God in Scripture is the major cause of spiritual deterioration. We must read the Bible. We must hold dear in our hearts the gospel truth. Scripture defends us against spiritual, emotional, and psychological attack. It guides us away from harmful paths and towards safety. God's word provides comfort and reassurance, acting as a stronghold for us during the storms of life. The truth of God's word assures believers that we are not alone, that God is with us. God's word promises he will never leave us or forsake us. These false teachers, they have forgotten Scripture. They have turned their back on the word of God. But we must remember. The coming of these godless men should not come as a surprise to believers, for it has been predicted by the apostles. Verse 18, "They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires." The apostles were conscious of living in what they thought were the last times. They believed that the coming of Jesus into the world had ushered in the last chapter of the world's history. Jesus himself discusses the last times. In Matthew 24, when Jesus was sitting with his disciples on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples were questioning him about the signs of the end of the age. In reply to a question, Jesus says in verse 11, "And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." So it's understandable then that Jude appeals to the teaching of the apostles regarding the last times. The apostles, of course, did not know when Jesus would return, and we still don't know when Jesus will return. Jude is emphasizing that the apostles foretold that there will be scoffers. So, scoffers, eh? The verb to scoff means to make fun of or to mock. It is an expression of contempt. The original text of Jude actually uses the Greek noun empaiktai, I hope I've got that right for any of the ancient Greek scholars among us, which translates to individuals who mock with the intent to deceive or ridicule religious truths. When Jude says there will be scoffers among you who will follow their own ungodly desires, he is saying that there will be people who hold the truth of the gospel in contempt and openly act to deceive people of the truth. The ungodly desires of the false teachers is exactly the contempt and deception that the apostles were warning about. The false teachers seek only selfish lust, money, and power in defiance of the gospel truth of our Lord Jesus. Think back to last week's passage, verse 4, where Jude says, "They are godless men who change the grace of our Lord into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord." as followers of Jesus, saved by grace and guarded by the Holy Spirit, it is unimaginable that we could dishonour God and think that we could change God's grace to suit selfish desires. Yet this is exactly what the false teachers do. These false teachers also mock God's word, hold the Holy Scriptures in contempt, and openly undermine its gospel truth through deception and lies. Scoffers, though, might also come from within. If worldly thinking starts to creep into our minds and hearts, there is a danger that we might start to question Scripture and ask ourselves, do we really still believe in all that stuff? As we saw in the first part of Jude, Scripture was delivered once for all by the apostles. There is no second delivery, no changes we can make to God's word to adjust for modern times. But Jude continues in verse 19. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. What else can Jude have to say about the heretics, these false teachers, that Jesus himself said would appear and deceive many people? Jude says three more things about them. They create division, they follow selfish desires, and they have no Spirit. The men who divide you. We saw last week in verses 12 and 13 the six fundamental differences between false teachers and those who hold fast to the gospel truth. To recap those six, they were blemishes, polluting holy gatherings. Two, they were self-serving shepherds who only feed themselves, didn't tend the flock. Thirdly, they are empty nothingness like clouds without rain. Fourthly, they're fruitless pursuits like autumn leaves. Five, like wild waves constantly churning up rubbish. And six, they are destined to eternal darkness like shooting stars. These are the differences, the divisions between the gospel truth and these false teachers. It is these men who turn their back on God, teach only empty lies, and follow only their selfish desires. They create factions within the church to deliberately lead people away from the truth. Jude reinforces this point, that the false teachers do not have the Spirit and do not know Jesus. A person who does not have the Spirit is clearly not saved. As Paul says in Romans 8, verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. These false teachers will divide the church through lies and deceit, follow their own sinful nature, and they do not have the Spirit of God. They do not belong to Christ, and therefore bring upon themselves all of God's wrath and condemnation. Up to now, Jude has spoken at length about the ungodly false teachers. But now Jude finishes this letter with a more positive message for us as believers sharing in the one Spirit with Christ. Verse 20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Jude refers to us readers for the second time as dear friends. Each time it is in sharp contrast to the ungodly men. This time in verse 20, he follows a valuable Christian instruction to preserve us from the contamination of falsehoods and to equip us for living as God's saved people in a sinful world. Jude instructs us to build ourselves up, to study the apostolic teaching. We must study the Scriptures if we are to grow in faith. And this faith is most holy because it is utterly different, entirely set apart from all others. It is unique in the message it teaches and the moral transformation it produces. For prayer in the Holy Spirit, The battle against sin and falsehoods is not won by argument. As Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Prayer in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit transforms us, helps us to overcome temptation and sin. The Holy Spirit guides us, reminds us of the words of Jesus, and provides us with insight into the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit empowers us with gifts to be witnesses for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit assists us in prayer, helps us in our weakness, and intercedes for us. Prayer in the Holy Spirit is praying in alignment with God's will, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, rather than relying on human effort. We should not rely on our own understanding, but rely on the guidance and empowerment that comes from prayer in the Holy Spirit. For prayer in the Holy Spirit is the weapon to strengthen our faith and defeat the influences of falsehoods, temptation, and sin. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. We must, as Christians, remain in the sphere of God's love. It is God's abiding love for us which first drew us towards Him. To keep ourselves in God's love requires an effort on our part to contribute to our side of the relationship. This is really just keeping the greatest commandment, as Jesus tells us in Mark 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. God loves us. God chose us to be His children, to belong to His family. God sent His only Son, Jesus, into this sinful world to live among us, to teach us, to show us how to love and honour the Father. And Jesus loves us so much that He took upon Himself all of our sins and condemnation, took them to the cross, died for us so that we might be reconciled with God the Father, and stand sanctified before the throne. We must remember to keep ourselves in God's love, and we must remember always the words of love that Jesus spoke to us. John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. The next part of this verse, to wait on the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, is an interesting one. Today, it seems, the message of Christian hope is often neglected and the content of Christian belief is widely doubted. As Christians, we need to live in this world. This is God's world, and we should rejoice in God's world as made by Him and redeemed by Him. The beauty of God's creation is amazing. From the frigid poles to the steamy tropical jungles, the variety of life created by God across this world is actually breathtaking. An incredible variety of people and cultures across this world, all created by God since Genesis, is also truly amazing. We should rejoice in God's world and love our neighbours. But as Christians, we also need to live apart from this world, because this world is a broken world, broken by sin. Christians may be physically present in this society, but we are set apart from society by our values. We are followers of Jesus, believing and trusting in Him. Our lives should reflect righteousness and holy living, not conforming to the sinful values of hate, greed, lust, and darkness. This doesn't mean we should live completely isolated lives, to go and live in a Christian commune or something, separated from the rest of the world. We live in this world as saved people because we are also called to be witnesses for Christ and examples of righteous living. the light of the world. And we also need the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the atonement he wrought upon the cross, the sacrifice he made for us at Golgotha, the reconciliation achieved between God and sinners. Mercy is possible for us only because of what Jesus achieved there for us. By eternal life, Jude means our new life reconciled to the Father, yet to be realized, but which has already begun in believers. It means the resurrection of life of the age to come, given to believers at the return of Jesus. Verse 22, be merciful to those who doubt. As we need the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, so we should also be loving, kind, and patient to those in doubt. Jude could be meaning here that those who doubt are those who have come under the influence of false teaching or worldly thinking. What Jude is saying here is that we should help those who doubt. They need our help. The truth of the gospel will overcome falsehoods. If we have conversations with people who have been led astray, have been influenced by worldly thinking and falsehoods, we need to be loving towards them and kind. We need to be patient. We need to uphold Holy Scripture and speak only the gospel truth. For it is only by speaking the gospel truth that we can overcome the erroneous thoughts and views. Jude is now getting very serious when he says in verse 23, snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. This is both a call for intervention and a call to ministry. To snatch others from the fire and save them, this is a call for active intervention. An active intervention not just of those who have given way to the false teachings, but of all people who have not heard God's word and do not know about the saving grace of our Lord Jesus. We can do this by showing mercy, by being compassionate, and mixed with fear, by being cautious and loving in our witnessing and ministry. These people, they are on the wrong path. The path that leads to death and destruction. Our brothers and sisters who have been corrupted by false teachings need to be told as such and then rescued. People living in darkness who have never heard the good news, who are on the wrong path, need to be told as such and then rescued. The Great Commission. We need to rescue these people mixed with fear, in a sense of awe, because the God who deigns us to use us as his ambassadors. When Jude says, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh, it's an interesting phrase. The analogy of clothing stained by sin is used numerous times in the Bible. For example, Isaiah 64, verse 6. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. There's another example is written in Zechariah 3, verses 3 to 4. Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, take off these filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin. I will put rich garments on you. The analogy here is likening sin that surrounds us to being like wearing filthy clothes. Jesus will cleanse us of our sin so that we are clothed in his majesty. Jude is saying in verse 23 that we have to show kindness and compassion towards those who are on the wrong path and have been led astray, who are living in darkness. We know that God is with us, but we need to be very careful in witnessing to such people. Careful that we don't become tainted by their sinful beliefs. We can hate the sin, but love the sinner. So the last two verses of this book of Jude focuses our attention on God, and it is a beautiful reminder of the awesome power of God. Verse 24, to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and without great joy. We are the ones who keep falling. We all stumble regularly. We might even fall away for a bit. Sometimes we may have doubts, like we might not be good enough to stay near to Jesus, or even feel like we have strayed far enough away such that Jesus cannot keep us from falling. Except that he is able. Jesus is able to keep us from falling. Jesus is the one who saves us, who keeps us from falling, and Jesus will never let us go. We must watch that we stay close to our Lord Jesus, for only he can guard us so that we do not stumble. And more than that, Jesus will set us up, cleansed in new robes, sanctified to stand before his glorious presence in heaven. And we shall be exalted, because no fault will be found in us. The Christian is in Christ and therefore faultless, without blame. Only the spotless are fit for God. What an amazing thing it is that in Christ we can be without blame and thus constitute an acceptable offering to God. God has no charge nor condemnation against those who are accepted by his Son. Jude sees the faithful Christians, after enduring all the pressures of contending for the faith in an age of false doctrine and in an age lacking moral restraints, he sees them standing before God like perfect sacrifices in God's heavenly sanctuary, a self-offering to the glory of God amid all the joyous jubilation of the redeemed. A couple of weeks ago, Greg preached on Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. Are we growing in love? This beautiful passage in Ephesians is a prayer from Paul to the people of Ephesus. And it is our encouragement that God strengthens us with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts, and that through faith we will be filled with the depth of his eternal love and bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ forever. To our only God, our Saviour, the one personal, holy, loving God who made the world, saves it, redeems it through Jesus Christ, and will be glorified in it. All the glory, all the majesty, all the power, and all the authority belongs to God. It is through Jesus Christ that God saves us. Jesus, who was there from the creation of the world, is our sovereign King, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word, as written by Jude. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us always. Thank you, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit guards our hearts, keeps us focusing on Jesus, keeps us on that narrow path. And Lord, help us to be faithful witnesses to help spread the good news of Jesus to those who haven't heard the word or who have strayed from the word. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.